So we were in the sugya of Yehar Gal Yavar. I think what we last left off with was trying to explain the Shitas HaRambam. Remember we had said that if a person holds a gun to your head and says, bow down to this idol or I'm going to kill you, so the halach is very clear, Yehar Gal Yavar. You have to get killed rather than bow to the idol. If a person is a Cholash Yesh Basakani, he's dangerously ill, and the only reward he's going to get is through Avodzar Gilei Raya Shvichs Damim, let's say Atzei Ashera, halach is very clear, the Gemara says, he has to die rather than take the refuah. Right? So what we started to discuss is what if he chooses the wrong choice? He chooses to live. He chooses to do the Avodah Zarah. Do we punish him for the Avera of Avodah Zarah? That's what we started to discuss. The Rambam writes in halachos that are literally two halachos apart from each other. In Perikei of Hilchos Yisodei Torah, halacha Dalet and halacha Vav, the Rambam seems to flip-flop on this. The Rambam writes in Halacha Dalit of Perikei of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, in source number 3 in the Mar Mekomos. Kol mi shenemar bo yavar val yaharik v'nerag v'lo avar. Let's say it's one of those situations where it's the other 610 mitzvos in the Torah. It's one of those situations where you're supposed to violate the Avera and not get killed. And you choose to get killed! So first he starts with that wrong choice. Let's say you make the wrong choice, L'chumra, where you decide that they put a gun to your head and say, we want you to eat a cheeseburger or we're going to kill you. And you say, I will not eat a cheeseburger, kill me. Right? Harezem ischayev benafsha. Says the Rambam, you've just committed suicide for no good reason. That's not what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to eat the cheeseburger. V'kol mi shenemar bo yaharik val yavar, but the other three mitzvahs in the Torah that are yaharik val yavar, v'nerag v'lo avar, and a guy does what he's supposed to do, he gets killed and he doesn't violate the Avera, hareza kidesh es Hashem. It's a wonderful kidesh Hashem, he made the right choice, and if there was a minion of Jews there, says the Rambam, then he did even better, kidesh es Hashem berabim. And you know what happens if you're kidesh Hashem berabim? You get put on a very, very exclusive list of great leaders in Jewish history. Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, v'chaveirav. Because you're a person who's given his life for the sake of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and made a very public Kiddush Hashem. That's the best. Fantastic. And he quotes a whole bunch of wonderful psukim about people who do this. Now, says the Rambam further. Let's say, on the fourth line over here, recall me, Shnemar bo Yeharik val Yavar. Let's say you have an Avera that's Yaharik Val Yavar. They hold the gun to your head and they say, worship this idol or we're going to kill you. V'avar v'lo ne'erag. And you say, fine, I'll do it. And you worship the idol and you don't get killed. Wrong choice. Harezeh mechalel es Hashem. That's what we call chilul Hashem. V'im hayu basarim Yisrael. And if there was a minion there, then it's not just chilul Hashem, it's chilul Hashem pirabim. And that's even worse. And you're mevatel mitzvah sasev kiddush Hashem, you violate mitzvah los sasev chil Hashem. Bad news all around. Do we punish you? Just a moment. Do we punish you? Do we give the guy malchus if he violated lav? Do we give him misa if he violated chiyuv misa? Do we punish him? Says the Rambam, v'afal pikein mipnei sha'avar ba'ones ein malkinosa. Because he did this under duress, we do not give him malchus. So obviously we're not going to give him a misa. Why? We only give malchus and misa for someone who violates beritzono ube'edim v'asra'a, willingly and with edim and asra'a. But this guy didn't do it willingly, it was ba'onas, and therefore he's not going to be chayav. The Rambam goes on to say, if you could run away and avoid the whole situation, you should definitely do that. And if you're able to run away and you fail to run away, the Rambam says, then I have some very not nice words to say about such a person. He says, "Hu kikelev shaval kio." He's like a dog eating his own vomit. If you choose not to run away when you could have run away. Good. And he's going to, the Rambam says even harsher words than a dog eating his own vomit. V'nikra ovid avodas chavim v'mezid. It's considered that you did avodas zar v'mezid. V'nitrad min ha'olam haba. And you're going to be excluded from olam haba. V'yored the madrega tachtona shel gehenim. and you'll be in the lowest, this person will be in the lowest depths of Gehenna. Okay, so those are very harsh words, not nice. Okay, fine. But what did the Rambam say? If you make the wrong call and you decide to do the Avera rather than to get killed, do we punish you? Rambam says, no, we cannot punish you. You acted under duress. Very same Rambam, same author, two halachas later, says, and we discussed this last time, a guy is deathly ill. No, tell the mothers. He's going to die. And the doctors say, Sherefuoso bedvar ploni, this is in halachavav, Sherefuoso bedvar ploni me yisurin shabbatara. Your only refu is going to be with the cheeseburger. Osin. So do it. Eat the cheeseburger. You have to save your life. But if they tell him your refu is going to be with Gilui Arayos or with Shvichas Damim or with Avodah Zarah, Ein Misrapin Behen, you cannot do it. And what if you do? What if you take those Atzei Asherah? What if the man sleeps with that woman? What if you murder that person in order to save your own life because you're deathly ill and this is your only cure? Says the Rambam, so we expect him to say, under duress, you're not going to be punished. Says the Rambam, Onshin also Beis Din Onesh Haro'ilo. Beis Din gives him the Onesh that he deserves. They give him the proper Onesh. It's not called under duress. He gets punished. So obviously you don't have to be a genius to figure out that there's a stira in the Rambam over here. There's a problem. Do you or do you not get punished when you make the wrong call in a Yaharik Val Yavar situation? On one hand, the Rambam says, gun to your head and you make the wrong call, you don't get punished because you acted bonus. The other case, deathly ill and you make the wrong call, you do get punished. Got a question?
Let's say you're with a minion, right? There's a minion of people there, and the person says you bow down to the Avodah Zarah, I'm going to kill everybody. Are you supposed to...
So we're going to have to get into that. That's going to be a... That's going to be a different situation, because when we're talking about Hatzalas Harabim, it might be different. The Poskim discuss this when it comes to, the Rishonim discuss when it comes to Esther. The Gemara asks that, the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin says that if a person violates any Avera, Befarhesia becomes Yarek Valiava. Anything Befarhesia becomes Yarek Valiava, even if it's not one of the big three. So Gemara says, Aiva Esther Farhesia Vai. Esther, when she slept with Achashverosh, everyone knew about it. So isn't that Yaharik Val Yavar? Shouldn't it have been Yaharik Val Yavar, even though it wasn't one of the big three? So Gemara gives an answer, Esther Karka Olam, that she was passive. So all the Rishonim on the spot, the Balei Tosfos, all the other Rishonim say, what's the Gemara asking? Esther Farhes Yavai, that's why it's Yaharik Val Yavar. I'll give you a better reason why it was Yaharik Val Yavar. What was she doing? Gilui Arayos. It's anyway Yaharik Val Yavar. Kasher avadati avadati. Right, what does she tell? According to the Gemara Megillah, she tells Mordechai, just like if I sleep with him, I'm never going to be able to stay with you anymore because I'm married to you. She was a married woman. It's Gilui Arayos. So Balei HaTosfos have one way of dealing with it. One of the approaches that the Rishonim take is that maybe for Hatzalas Kol Yisrael, it's different. So we'll have to discuss that when we get there. Yeah.
Also, with the duress thing, when you have a gun to your head saying, bow down to this or I'm going to shoot you, you don't really have a split second to think. But when you're told that you have to have this medicine or else you're going to die, it's not as much duress as it is.
So why is it not as much duress? Because of the timing?
Because you have more.
Okay, I hear that, Svara, but the Rambam never distinguishes between the time. Meaning, what if the person says, if you don't kill this person by 1 week from today, I will kill you? That's what the Melech told you. So he gave you plenty of time to think about it. So the Ram doesn't say it's any different. Presumably he would still say that Allah is the same, that you would not get punished, that it's called under duress. So what's pshat in this Ram?
Is Ram in a case where it was Yarab, does he stick away that you're supposed to?
You don't have to get to that also.
It implies that you shouldn't. I mean, the implication I thought here would be that even in that case of Professor, you still would not give up your life.
You still would not give up your life. That's what you got from this Rambam.
He makes the qualifications, but as opposed to the other one where he does. I mean, a case where I think he almost like he speaks it out when it comes to a case of.
Right, and he does speak out in this case. So good catch. Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. Why he doesn't do that? There's another important distinction he doesn't make that we're also going to have to talk about. That's what this Reb Chaim is about. That is, he doesn't distinguish between karka olam and not karka. The Gemara in Sanhedrin had said, how is Esther allowed to do this? I was farhesia. The Gemara's answer was karka olam, that she was passive. So apparently, when it's farhesia, being passive is okay. And the Bali Atosos over there say, what about the Gilei Arayos element? Yeah, karka olam answers that too. She was passive. So you don't have to worry about the Gilei Arayos element. So Rav Tosfos says on top of Chafeim Beis also, that if you're passive, if the girl is passive, then she doesn't have to get herself killed. Rambam never says that. How could the Rambam leave that out? That's an important detail. That's a very important detail. So, what? Well, I mean, the Gemara says it. Karka Olam is the Gemara says Karka Olam first about why it's not Yarag Val Yavar on account of it being Farhesya. So Tos says, and that same answer also works for why it's not Yarag Val Yavar on account of it being Gilei Arayos.
I'm just curious in terms of that, like specific, and not too specific. In terms of like being Karka Olam and being passive, is it only the act itself of Gilei Arayos has to be?
Also a good question. What if they tell the girl, you have to go to the guy's apartment and have beer with him? So she, in the act of beer, she could be passive, but she has to go to the guy's apartment, so that requires an act. So do we define it by the actual Maisa Avera, being passive in the actual Maisa Avera, or being passive in the entire process? Also a good question. Hopefully, we'll see if we can get to all this stuff. But first, this Rambam. What do we do with the stira? So if you take a look at the Arsameach, source number 4. Arsameach, as you know, is Rameir Simcha Mitvinsk. He was he wrote two very, very major svarim. One is the Arsameach, which is commentary on the Rambam. Anyone know the other major sefer that he wrote? Commentary on Chumash, known as Mesha Chachma. So he also, by the way, wrote hundreds, thousands of tshuvos, most of which were lost. Rav Meir Simcha, Midvinsk, he was from the town of Dvinsk. Probably, yeah. So, in Dvinsk was a unique town in Europe. It was this small little town in Poland, and I think Poland. And the two rabbis of the town, the Litvisher rabbi, or the non-Hasidic rabbi, was the Meshech Chachma, and the Hasidic rabbi in that town was the Rogachev. This tiny little town had two gedolei olam in that one little place, and they actually got along, so that was good too. They say that the Rogachev said, I think I must have told you this story, the Rogachev said in the Hesped for Meir Simcha, he said everyone knew the Rogachev was a super duper genius. The Rogachev, when he was born, everyone realized he was super, his mind was not from the, it was otherworldly. Rav Meir Simcha was not known to have a mind like that. But Rav Meir Simcha was a gadol olam. So the Rogachev said in the Hesped for Rav Meir Simcha, he said, how did Rav Meir Simcha become Rav Meir Simcha? He wasn't born with my brain. How did he become Rav Meir Simcha? He says, you know, when a person's house is on fire, how he's able to somehow jump out of a second story window and survive, you know, and not even break a leg or whatever, find this energy that he didn't know he had, this adrenaline rush that enables him. You know, there was a grandmother a couple of years ago that her grandchild was stuck under a car, and the 68-year-old grandmother lifted up the vehicle to free her grandchild, who's caught on video, lifted up a car, 68-year-old woman, not like a bodybuilder. Because sometimes when you're desperate and you need something, you just have to have it. You find these kochos you didn't know you had. Said the Rogachev, for a Meir Simcha, in learning, the house was always on fire. He needed that sugya. He needed that chiddush. He needed to understand it. So he was able to accomplish things that were otherworldly. Very special thing about Meir Simcha. So anyway, says Meir Simcha. Quotes the Rambam, Kinyan Shamar Bones and Kacharim B'chaloyim, Mishrapin B'kalisrum Shabitar Makam Sakana, Chutz Megillah Reis, Ein Mishrapin Avar V'nishrapi Onshinos Obezin Onash Haroyla. This Rambam in Alech Avav, if a person gets the Rufua from the Yatzei Asherah, Bezin punishes him what he deserves. Havadai to lo dami lemasha pasuk ba alacha dalit. He says, don't make the mistake of thinking that this is similar to what the Rambam writes in alacha dalit. The b'makom on esav midi diarg gal yaver amaver einon shino so donus rachman apatre. That if a guy violates and makes the wrong call and decides to bow to the avodah zarah instead of taking the bullet, that we're not going to punish him because donus rachman apatre. Why is it different? The svarahu dafkim on shino so sheyarugas ploni olegalos arayos. Whose idea was it to kill the other guy or to bow to the avodah zarah when someone's holding a gun to your head? Is it your idea? Certainly not your idea. The person who's holding the gun to your head had the idea. Hey, why don't you bow to the avodah zarah? I really want you to do that. In fact, I want you to do it so badly I'll hold the gun to your head until you do it. Sharotza shiarugas ploni. And that's his goal. His goal is not to kill you. His goal is to get you to kill somebody else. His goal is to get you to battle the avodah zarah. It was his idea. V'imlav yehari gal davar shein ohar kloni. And if you don't, then I'm going to have to kill you because I really want you to do it. But it's not your idea to do it. It's his idea. Imkei misibas mi ba'a harigaso im yargenu hama anso. Who's the one that caused the death of this other person? If you kill him. Sorry, who would cause you, what would be the cause of your death if you choose not to kill him? The fact that you didn't want to kill that guy. Aval kan, but in this case in Halachavav, hacholi haboy love hu belosi bas shum davar. You got sick because things like that happen sometimes. So the person got sick. Rak yachol lahasil lahatzilas atzmo bedam ploni obavadazar plonis. But the person who's ill can save himself by doing an avodah zarah, by killing somebody. Well, then it's your choice. Whose idea is it to take the Asherah medicine? Your idea. You happen to be sick, and that's what makes you think of that idea. Uh-oh, I'm going to die if I don't take this medicine. But it is your choice to take that medicine at that point. Ukumosha kol rotzeach rotza lishpoch chamaso liros nokam. He says, you know, just like, why does anyone murder anybody else? Why would anyone murder anybody else? Vengeance. They're angry at the other person. So you have something pushing you inside, telling you, do this, commit this murder. So l'maynaf kamina, whether that's something pushing you inside is your desire for vengeance or it's some illness that you're dying from. It's your choice. It's not something external to you that's pushing you. It's internal. It's you pushing you. So when you go and you kill that guy, you go and you batter that avodah zarah, or you use the atzei asherah, you do the gilei arayos to save your life. You're the one doing it. No one else is doing it to you. But if someone's holding a gun to your head and saying, "Kill that guy, or I'm going to kill you," it wasn't your idea to kill that guy. It was the ma'anes. It was the person who's holding the gun to my head. It was his idea to kill that guy. That's called that I'm doing a bonus. But if I'm nebuch ill and I choose to do it, that's not called I'm doing a bonus. So when a person is sick and he decides and makes the wrong call, so he's going to be chayiv because he did a baratzo.
Dimansu laharos shel chavero ba'onas mamon. Hainu shim lo yira yitlum menu mamono pater.
He says you find a similar idea in Choshem Mishpat. Halach is not supposed to be moser. What does it mean to be moser? To give over either someone, another Jew, to the government, or to give over his money to the government. So if they say, where's he hiding all of his money? So you're not allowed to say, oh, he's got it in that bank account over there. He's got it under a rock in the field over there. You're not allowed to tell where he is hiding his money. What if they say, tell us where that man's hiding his money or we're taking away all of your money? And you say, okay. He's hiding it over there. Is that called that you did it ba'ones? So the halach is yes, that's ba'ones. Why? Because it's not that you didn't want to stam maser. They said, show us that money, and if you don't, then we're going to do something to you. So they're forcing you into it. The guy who's forcing you doesn't want your money. It's just his way of forcing you to show the other guy's money is by threatening with your own money. L'chein potter, so you can be potter. But where did the Shach get that idea from? Where did the Rambam get that idea from? So he says, he got it from Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says as follows, Yerushalmi Nevadazara. Ve'ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh. We don't push away one life in favor of another. Lo sof davar v'chulei nachri b'nachri, nachri b'Yisrael chayiv, Yisrael b'nachri pater. So what does that mean? K'fiya nira koi al mada amar b'samach, she'ein misrapin al shvichas dam. You're not allowed to get a refuah by killing somebody. V'al zeka amar d'nachri b'nachri chayiv. And that's what we say, that if it's a guy against another guy, you're going to be chayiv. Afim harag ish l'refu aso, avul Yisrael b'nachri pater kedino. But a Jew against a guy is going to be pater. Vim Yisrael nisrape b'ritzichas Yisrael gam kein chayiv. And if it was a Jew against another Jew, then he's going to be chayiv. V'kamash b'lon rabusa da'af nachri chayiv. And it's going to, the chiddush is that even a nachri is going to be chayiv against another nachri. Omishum shbenoch nerag afim omer mutzel srape b'ritzicha kedino ye echshia mefurash de b'nisrape onshin oso onesh haroyla. Bottom line is that Yerushalmi says, I don't really understand the details, but bottom line is that Yerushalmi says that if a person gets a refuah through murder, chooses to get a refuah through murder, he still gets punished. So once you have that halach in your mind, so the Rambam says, okay, that's the difference. Because when you choose to get a refuah through murder, it's your choice. It's internal, it's not external. Good? That's how he's mefaresh the shitas Rambam. Now, that's the answer we mentioned already last time. Prichadash has a bit of a different answer. Not as satisfying, I don't think, as that answer. Prichadash suggests the following. If a person holds a gun to your head and says, kill Ruvain or I'm going to kill you. So you know bivadai that if you kill Ruvain, you'll save your life. You're not going to die. You also know bivadai, since this person doesn't look like he's joking and he has a loaded gun to your head, that if you don't kill Ruvain, you're going to die. Everything is a vadai. But if a person is ill, and there's a medicine that's made from Atzei Asherah, so sick people get better all the time. Sometimes sick people just get cured. They become better. So if a person's ill, and there's a medication that's available for him, maybe even if he doesn't take the medicine, he'll get better. He doesn't know for sure that he's going to die if he doesn't take the medicine. And you know what else? A lot of times sick people take medication, and they don't get better. So he doesn't even know that if he takes it, it's going to work. The difference in the two cases is that in halacha dalid, it's a vada and a vada. Someone's holding a gun to your head, so you know that you're going to die if you don't kill this person, and you'll live if you do kill this person. But the chole that needs the atzei ashera, he doesn't know that he's going to die if he doesn't take the medicine, and he doesn't know that he's going to live if he does take the medicine. It's a suffik and a suffik. So says the Prichadash, maybe when it's a vaday and a vaday, and you choose to violate the avera, that's why we say it's an onus in your pater. But if it's a suffik and a suffik, then it's not an onus. Any problems with that answer? Do any of us ever really know the future? We never know. The guy might change his mind. The guy might be like, oh, just kidding. Or, oh my God, it's jammed. You know, or, I don't know. It's not really exciting. There's more of a rove over here. But the bottom line is there any real vada over here? It's hard to say that you're dealing with a situation where you actually have any sense of vada.
You have to say this, but I feel like it almost makes a little more sense. Just, you didn't say it straight out, but like one's more in God's hands, one's in a person's hands.
Good. Hold on half a second. First of all, before we get to that answer, but just a question on the Prichadash is, Okay, you drew. Let's assume the distinction is correct. That one case is a vada and vada, the other case is suffix suffix. Why should that matter in halacha? Meaning, it's still the same choice. In one case, I'll vadai die if I don't do the avera, and I'll vadai live if I do the avera. The other case, I'll 90% die if I don't do the avera, and I'll 90% live if I do the avera. It's still the same, right? Meaning, it's still the same trade-off. So where would the Rambam get that in one case you get punished, the other case you don't get punished? Meaning, why would the Rambam assume that they have different halachas? Meaning, Lu Yitzir, that's a good that it's an accurate portrayal of the mitzvahs. That in halacha dalit, it's actually a situation of vadai. In halacha vav, it's actually a situation of suffik. Even granted that, who says that that's going to matter in the halacha? That's going to make a difference in the halacha. What?
It's obviously how we define onus in order to have onus.
So onus is only.
Onus is only a case where the thing you were forced into is a vadai.
Where the thing you're forced into, what do you mean it's a vadai? In what sense? That you're definitely going to die, or you're definitely not going to die if you don't. If you do.
I mean, you definitely, whatever happens, you will definitely die if you don't act upon it.
So onus is only if you're 100% sure you're going to die. But if you're 90% sure you're going to die, then it's not an onus.
How can you be 100% sure you're going
to
die?
Let's say someone takes a gun that has 9, 10 bullets in the thing, and they do like Russian, right? They put nine bullets. And they say, I'm going to take one shot if you don't eat this cheeseburger. And you eat the cheeseburger. Are you going to be chayav for eating the cheeseburger? I would think definitely not. That was under duress. No, that's onus. But now all of a sudden it's not going to be onus. Because of it's not 100% that the person is going to die from this illness. Right? Very hard to say that. So Evan has an interesting chiluk. What's the chiluk he wanted to say? That one case is in human hands. If this person wants to kill me, I will die. The other case is out of human hands, in the hands of God. If the threat to my life is, right, that's what you're saying, is bidei shamayim. Maybe when the threat to your life is bidei shamayim, that by definition makes it a suffix. That's what he means that it's a suffix. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshua Hashem Karefayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change his mind at any moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could save you at any moment, no matter how bleak things look. But if someone else wants to kill you and chooses to kill you, there's no forcing him to change his mind. He will kill you. That's a very important theological question. If someone wants to kill somebody, and Hashem doesn't want it to happen, can the person kill him? Can someone kill you against the will of God? It's a machlokas, actually. You would think it's apikorsis to say that a person can kill you against the will of God. Right? You would think it's apikorsis. I think it's an Or Chaim HaKadosh, if I'm not mistaken, by Yosef and his brothers. They said, Vayishlich Yosef el bar, they threw Yosef into the bar. Right? Vabor reik ein bo mayim, zokt Rashi, ein bo mayim, avol nechashim makrabim yeshbo. There was no water in there, but it was full of snakes and scorpions, right? I believe it's an Or Chaim HaKadosh, could be wrong, maybe a Kli Yakar, that asks, one of the Mefarshim, the Makros Gedolos, that asks, wait a second, they were trying to save his life. They were trying not to kill him. So they throw him into nechashim makrabim. What were they thinking? How are you saving his life that way? So one approach is they didn't see the Nechashim HaKrabim. Vayashlichu means 20 amos, and 20 amos a person doesn't see below. Whatever, Torah Tzmimah has a beautiful vart explaining the Gemara and Shabbos that way in the Chanukah Sugya. Leave that aside. Let's assume they saw the Nechashim HaKrabim in the bar. So they could have, they're killing him. So one of them, Farshim HaChumash, says, no. If they would kill him, be a dayim, whether Hashem wants it or Hashem doesn't want it, they'd be successful, they would kill him. But by throwing him to Nechashim HaKrabim, what they're doing is they're leaving it in God's hands. They're saying, Hashem, you want to save him? He's yours to save. You want to kill him? Kill him. You want to save him? He's yours to save. But the implication is, I mean, really what he's saying is that if Hashem wanted to save him and they actually killed him via Dayan, they would have been successful. they would have been able to kill against the Ratzon Hashem. What? Sure, that's the implication.
No, but it wouldn't, God wouldn't be allowed to happen even if they would have warned
him. No, meaning they were saying, we're going to leave it in God's hands by putting him with the Nachash Makrab. If we would kill himself, then it's out of God's hands. It's in our hands and he's dead.
Obviously, if God wouldn't have wanted it, it wouldn't have happened.
No, that what they were saying is, God could not want it, but if we do it ourselves, it will happen anyway.
From their perspective, it wouldn't have happened if God didn't want it to happen. From their perspective, they
from their perspective, they said, "What can God do to stop him? Right? He can't do anything. If I want to kill him, I can kill him. But God can kill him."
So they were all wrong. You're saying they're all wrong.
From man's perspective, I assume whatever I do is for my own free will.
But these are the shvatim. You're assuming that they, and not your own free will is to do attempted murder. But from it, Bechir Chavshis means that you have the ability to accomplish what you're trying to do. Bechir Chavshis means you could do any action. It doesn't mean that you could accomplish something with those actions. Right? But they're still assuming that they can accomplish against the will of God. That he will die against the will of God if we kill him with our own hands. That's what their assumption was. If you were to assume that way, you know, the Kasha, the major problem in faith, the crisis of faith that was caused by events like the Holocaust. How could God let this happen? If you assume theologically that this is not apikorsis, so there's no kasha, how could God let this happen? Because God didn't do anything. It was the Nazis that did it. And they can do things against the will of God, if you assume that way. Which is wild. It's a wild, wild shita. It sounds like apikorsis. And many of the other mepharshim say, yeah, it sounds like apikorsis. If it walks like a duck, right? If it sounds like apikorsis, it is apikorsis. You can't accomplish things against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But can't you use Uriah that you can do stuff that's against the will, like killing yourself? Like no one.
Maybe Hashem wants you dead. You're still punished for making the choice of taking your own life. It's a fascinating machlokas. It's a very, very interesting. What?
It's a much broader subject than going to like free will.
Yeah. It becomes a very, very, very broad sugya. But yeah, maybe if that's the explanation of the prechadash, just saying like that, meaning it would border on that issue, at least border on that issue, if not more than border on that issue. That's You need someone better than me to give that shiur. That's
it's hard to say the Prechadur says that if he doesn't. I mean, if he doesn't mention one's in the hands of God, one's in the hands of a person.
Right.
Because that would be a huge chiluk in itself.
Right. Yeah, he just says vaday versus suffix. You're right. It's hard to say that's what he means.
And how vada does that have to be and how suffix does
it? Right. Also, is vada ever really vada? Right. It's an all fair question. I just want to pose the set up the next piece, and maybe we'll get to it on Monday, Bez Hashem. Right, the next piece. On Chafei Amid Beis, Tosos. Well, it's important to know this Gemara. You got to know this Gemara cold if we're going to analyze the sugya at all. The Gemara went through how we know that each of the big three are Yaharik Val Yavar. So Gemara says, how do I know Avodah Zarah is Yaharik Val Yavar? It's Pasukim Kriya Shema, L'chol Nafshach. How do I know Gilei Arayos is Yaharik Val Yavar? Because by Narum Rasa it says that raping Narum Rasa is just like murder. So if murder is Yaharik Val Yavar, Narum Rasa has to be Yaharik Val Yavar. So the Gemara says, okay, great. How do I know? Murder is Yaharik Val Yavar. So Gemara says, well, that's a Svara. My chaz is damit daf sumak tvei, dimel damit du gavr sumak tvei, right? So that's what we saw in the Gemara. So we saw Tosos, oh, we didn't see yet, actually. Tosos makes a very critical chilek. And Tosos says, yeah, Gilei Arayos is Yaharik Val Yavar for the guy, but not for the girl. Why is it not Yaharik Val Yavar for the girl? Because the girl could be passive, she could be karka olah. So what? She's still doing Gilei Arayos. Who cares if she's passive? So he says, remember, how do I know Gilei Arayos Yaharik Val Yavar in the first place? I learn it from murder. And why is murder Yaharik Val Yavar? because of a svara. Who told you your blood is redder? Maybe the other guy's blood is redder. What does that svara tell you to do? That svara tells you your life against the other guy's life, you're not allowed to make a choice. So what do you have to do? Nothing. You need to be passive. So if by murder, the halacha is based on a svara, and that svara tells you to be passive. And we only know Gili Arayos from Ritzicha. So says Tosus, it must be that by Gili Arayos, there's a heter of passivity. They can be passive by Gili Arayos as well. And that's where the Gemara and Sanhedrin got the idea of Karka Olam, that Karka Olam works. Because if Karka Olam works for Ritzicha, it's got to work for Gili Arayos. Problem is, the Rambam never mentions Karka Olam when he talks about Gili Arayos. How could the Rambam leave it out? Or when he talks about Ritzicha. Ritzicha, specifically. How could a person be passive in Ritzicha? So Tosus gives the example. Where they tell you, not you have to kill Reuven or we're going to kill you, but they tell you, you're 400 pounds. So they come over to you and they say, listen, you 400 pound man, you just have to stand there, we're going to lift you up and we're going to throw you on a baby. So then you're being passive. Okay, I'm here, you're just being passive. They're doing everything. So you'd be allowed to make that choice because you're being passive. So there's a beautiful Reb Chaim. So first Reb Chaim in the whole Sefer, Chidush Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi, and it's on Yomar Makomos. Bez Hashem, I want to go through that Reb Chaim carefully on Monday. Sunday we'll do a Hachtamah.